Thank you. Good morning. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out this morning to God's house of worship, where we want to sing praises to Him and look into His Word and see what it is that He has to speak to us this morning. We know that the time for the snow has been for a while already. It could have been for a while already, and here we have it today, and it always, it's not that I'm waiting for it, but it always looks so nice when everything is so nice and white. On my part, it could have stayed away a little bit longer yet, but I'm also good with this. I want to greet you with the words which we find in Titus chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, in the hope of eternal life, and that is my wish and my prayer, that we all have set our goal on Jesus Christ, and that our hope is that we will have eternal life here in this world with Him, and then when He takes us, calls us away from this world, that we will truly be with Him in heaven. And he goes on and he says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It is a promise. It is there for us to hold on to. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Paul, he's writing here, and he says it has been placed upon him. It has been placed upon me, but it has also been placed upon each and every one of us. We don't have to stand behind the pulpit to preach God's word. Wherever we go, whatever we do, our light needs to shine. We need to be His hands and His feet. And then he goes on in verse 4, and he addresses it to Titus. And I want to address it to each and every one of us here today. And I'm going to go Morden, Zummerfeld, church members, people here, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this morning with thankful hearts. Father, we thank You for the snow that You have sent, which You talk about in Your holy word, what You want to do to us, where You will wash us whiter than the snow that we see out there that has covered a lot of grime, a lot of dust. Father, we pray that as we go forward, that each step that we take would truly be a step closer to You. On our own, Lord, we know it isn't possible, but in You, it truly is possible, where You will strengthen us and where we want to look into Your word today and how we can be strengthened, how You strengthen when You were in this world and in the Old Testament, how You strengthen the people. And Lord, I pray that each word that is spoken here today or sung, that it might all be done to Your honor and glory. Father, I pray that You would strengthen the song leaders, the people doing the sound. Pray for the Sunday school teachers that they too might have prepared themselves to allow You to speak through them to the children, and that the children can also get a greater understanding of who You are, what You've done for us, and what You will continue to do for us. Father, I pray for each one that has come out to this worship service this morning, that You would also strengthen them, and that as You give me the words to speak, Lord, that each word would be according to Your will. That when it is spoken, that it is according to Your will, and we thank You for that. We pray this all in Your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. Turn it over to the song leaders.
In the red handle, page 35. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Page 35. Thank you.
hymnal number 26, O Perfect Holy Majesty. Number 26.
Thank you for those songs. I want to start off in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. A short verse. I believe it is a very familiar verse where we read Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and forever, whose birth we are going to celebrate in this month yet, towards the end of next month, where Jesus came as a baby, where we will be reminded of him coming, leaving his glory in heaven, coming into this world, who has gone back to heaven, and as we read here, the same yesterday and today, and forever, who will never change. And that is why when we look at this into the scriptures, into God's word, we can hold on to it. Because it isn't something that'll change like the world around us changes so dramatically, where we have to sort things out. When we look into God's word, what was there yesterday, the truth that was there yesterday will be there today, and we have the assurance that it will be there tomorrow and the days to come. It will never change. And I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That is what God's will is for us. He created us in his own image, and he wants us to also live in his image, that we can have that expected end, that we can know the road that we're walking is a road that leads to him. In verse 12, it says, and ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We know that in the Old Testament, so many times, his own children, the children of Israel, left their first love and they followed other gods. But this is truly the love of God, the hope that we can have in him, and that he knows our thoughts. But he also promises that when we seek him, he will also be there with us. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we seek him, we will find him. When ye shall, the last part of verse 13, when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. So God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to go astray, to be lost. He tells us that when we search him, and sometimes things come up in life and we don't understand it. Things happen to us, and it is so hard to see the righteousness in it. And yet there's a purpose for it. And the purpose might not even be for me. The world out there is watching us. And how do we deal when we are under pressure or when we face circumstances where we don't have no control over? They watch us so closely. And so we need to search ourselves. Then I want to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it starts off, but they that wait upon the Lord. What does it mean? What is he talking about when he's telling us, but they that wait upon the Lord? And as I was reading this verse and contemplating the question, my thoughts went back to Job. We know there are many people in the Old Testament that have suffered persecution. David, he fell short so many times. And so my thought went back to Job, and I want to turn to Job for a little bit. We will be coming back to Isaiah yet. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Actually, I'll start in verse 19. When we read the first part of Job, it talks about how all his goods were taken away from him. And then in verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So when we look at the verses before that, it talks about Job's children, how they were gathered in the house. All the rest of his goods had been taken away already, and now his own children had been taken away. And I have to wonder the thoughts that went through his mind. But we can know his thoughts by continuing in his word here. And it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. What would I have done if that would have happened to me? What would you have done? How do you handle circumstances when you face them, when they come to you? Where there's no understanding, and I'm sure Job, that went through his mind that he could not understand how all his wealth had been taken away. And then his children got taken away. What was the purpose for this? But it says Job rent his mantle. He worshiped God. In verse 21, it says, and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we identify with Job? Are those also our thoughts when we face hard times? Or do we then struggle? Job depended on God. He knew whatever he had because God had blessed him with it. If we go on further in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. When we read the verses before that, it is how he was tempted even more, how his body was full of sores. And then his wife comes to him, the only one he's got left. She says, give it all up already. Who's this God you're serving? Just give it up and die already. And I like the answer that Job has there. How he chooses his words. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Of the foolish women speaketh. So he doesn't just straight away tell her to shut up. But he says, you speak as the world speaks. And then he goes on and he says, what? Shall I not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And I have to look at myself. I confess that I don't always react that way. And come judgment day, it won't matter what has happened to me. What will matter is how have I used it to glorify God. Just like Job, where his wife came to him and told him to give up already, instead of lifting him up, tried to bring him down some more yet. And yet Job was able to see past what was happening to him, where he confronted his wife, he says, "That is the foolishness of this world. Shall I not receive good and then also the evil?" And it is so easy to thank God when we receive good. It's not that easy when things get hard. But that is where endurance stands out. What we truly stand for. How the people see us. Then I want to turn to Job chapter 17, verse 9. Job chapter 17, verse 9. The righteous shall also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. This is a promise for those that stand up for what is right. Those that don't allow persecution or whatever it is that comes before us to drag us down. This is what Job was holding on to, where he knew, even though he didn't understand, but the one that had created him was still there with him. And he was able to hold on to that truth. Where Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus hadn't come into the world yet, but that he would be the same then as he would be when he would come into this world, as he will be in the days to come. That we can hold on to that we can be encouraged, that we can go on. I'm going to turn to Samuel. Chapter 13, Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 14. When we read the previous verses, he's talking, Samuel, Saul had been given instruction to go out and fight. And it had been told him what he was supposed to do. And Saul also knew that to offer up sacrifices to God was given over to the priests. Samuel had told him that he would be back, but Saul couldn't wait. He looked at his surroundings and he says, "I will have to do this myself. I will have to offer up this sacrifice myself, because I can't wait because of circumstances around me." And then in verse 14, it says, "But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people." And he goes in the last sentence there, it says, "Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." God had chosen Saul to rule the children of Israel, to be their king. The children of Israel wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king. God sent prophets out to lead them. And the people wanted a king, because that's what the world around us has. We also want a king. They were told it would cost them their children, it would cost them their money. And they wanted a king. Saul knew that the priests were given the job of offering up sacrifices to God. but he couldn't wait. And if we read some verses before that, it tells us, Saul says, I forced myself to do it. And when we think about waiting, but they that wait upon the Lord, how many times are we in the same shoes? That because of circumstances around us, I can't see that this will work, even though it is of God. I'm just going to do what I think is right. And so it was, the kingdom was rent from him. Yes, he ruled for a while yet, but it was taken away. God's blessings weren't upon him. If we want God's blessings to be upon us, we need to also wait upon him. Take the scripture for what it is. Because if that is what it is today, that is what it'll be tomorrow. And so we can have the assurance that God knows, even if we don't understand. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. As followers of Jesus Christ, having confessed, having accepted him as our personal Savior, we too will be able to identify with these verses that there's trouble all around us, and yet it doesn't get us down. And that isn't something that we can do on our own, but that is something that we can do through Jesus Christ, who has created us, through his strength, by giving it over to him. And then I want to go to verse 16 yet in chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that gives me encouragement that even growing older and seeing what happens to older people so many times, there are times where it doesn't look very good, that I don't want to go there. And yet, we can still know that our Creator knows what we're going through. And that trusting in him, we can still go forward in joy, even if there's not a lot of joy in it. That is my encouragement for us here today. Let's not give up. Let's wait on the Lord. Allow him to lead and to guide. Before we continue, we have that great privilege of coming before our Maker, where we can pour out our hearts to him. And I want to encourage you that you truly do that. You know what you're going through. You know what you're facing. Let's talk to him. So for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
How shall I receive thee? How great thee, Lord, aright? All nations long to see thee, my heart.
I'm going to turn to Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So here we have the encouragement of not being ashamed to do what is right. But he also goes on, and those that are not doing that, that aren't standing up for what is right, aren't doing what is right, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for misleading people, saying that we're Christians, we're followers of Jesus, and yet our life, our lives don't show it. And I want to turn to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not." This is the love of God. God knows we're born of a sin nature. He knows we will fail. But what do we do with it when we fall short? Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He truly wants the best for us. And it goes on and it says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Have we chosen him as our portion? Saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." So we have so much encouragement to stand up, to hope and wait on the Lord, not run before him, not walk in our own ways, even though we cannot understand. Then I want to turn back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where we started off, where it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord," and it goes on and it says, "shall," which means it's a promise. It's a promise that if we wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. Whether we can understand it or not, he will increase our strength. He will give us what it takes to get through. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I always admire the birds, and I admire God's creation, and just to see the abilities that he has given to each creature, whether he's small or big, how they're able to accomplish so much. And here he's referring to eagles. When we see him soaring in the sky, looks so effortless. And he's comparing our lives to that when we wait on him. Are we struggling? Is anyone here struggling? I want to encourage you, wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Wait on the Lord. You know what? We have the privilege as brothers and sisters in the Lord to to go to one another. And sometimes we need to do that, to get that encouragement again and truly wait on the Lord. Be uplifted. Get out of that low and back on the high. And he says, we shall run, they shall run. We will be able to go forward. And the weariness that we had will have left. We will be able to enjoy. They shall walk and not faint, which means that we will not give up. Jesus truly has compassion for us. He had when he walked in this world, and he still has. I want to turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And this is one of the times where Jesus has talked to a multitude of people. And after a number of days, it is time for them to go home. But he also knows the frailty of man, and that they had been there long enough and they were without food, and that many of them had many miles to travel and they would not make it. And so he's concerned about them. He wants to make sure that those that have come out, that they will also be able to make it back home. In Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, it says, in those days, a multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. I have to think of life in this world. And sometimes we're called out so many times to help someone that we also want to give up. Why can't somebody else already help? Like, why is it always me? And I look at these words here. Why not me? Jesus has compassion for his children. He knows their intents. He knows our desires. And just like he didn't let the children of Israel go home hungry because they wouldn't make it, he will also carry us through. Bishop Friesen said one time that he was a farmer, and he says in the best season of harvesting, people had come to him and he had gone out to help. But he also said, I have never left a crop in the field. That is God, the God whom we serve. He knows. He knows when we have work to do and how we would really like to get it done because it is prime time. And yet, these people here, they came out for 3 days. So who took care of whatever they were, their livelihood? Who took care of it then? It doesn't tell us anything about that. It just tells us that they came out and they were there and they listened to Jesus. They wanted to know what Jesus had to say. And so that is also our responsibility, to wait on the Lord. To be able to just be at peace. Even when in our mind there shouldn't be peace, but that we can go through having that peace, knowing that Jesus knows and that I'm in his will. and maybe, and I'm not directing to myself, but that we're all in his will, right? That we're doing what he has called us to do. And then in verse 10 to 12, going down in chapter 8, it says, "And straightway he entered into the ship." This is after he had fed them, he had dismissed them. "And straightway he entered into the ship with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." Tempting God, doubting God, is something God cannot bless. He wants us to fully trust in him. And as I said already, and I'm going to say again, it isn't that we always know. There are times in our lives where we just don't understand. And yet, if we're able to see past that, like Job did, like David did when he had that affair with Bathsheba, where a son was born to them. And when he heard that that boy was to die, he fell down in sackcloth and ashes, and he worshiped God. He prayed to God. He prayed to God that God would not take his son from him. But what did he do when he found out that the son had died? He got up, restored himself, and worshiped God again. He gave him thanks. And so many times, we need to look past the circumstances and see the future. See what God truly has in mind for us. Verses 13 to 18. "And he left them and entered into his ship again, departed into to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" And then he goes on and he lays out to them again what he had done. And when I look at these verses, and life isn't just about things. It is not just about having things. And yes, we need things to live in this life. We have to work for a living. But when God calls, it should take precedence. We should take it and go with it. Even though maybe our jobs won't get done, or maybe we won't make as much money as we anticipated, but we know that we're in His will and that we can go forward with joy, praising God. I want to close with Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is an invitation that God gave out that Jesus gave to his disciples and how he calls us to him when we're going through hard times, where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And then he goes on and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Even though we cannot always see it as easy to serve him, and yet that's what it is. That's what Jesus, how Jesus wants us to look at it, to take it and go with it, not be troubled with it. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne once more this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God of love and grace and mercy. And you know us inside out because you've created us. And you continue to sustain us. Help us, Lord, as we continue our journey. Strengthen us that we would truly be who you have called us to be. We know there are so many out there that don't know you or maybe have gone astray. Lord, pray that you might also open up their eyes, that when they see us live our lives without even speaking to them, that they would know that there is something else that is within us, and that they too would have a desire to know what it is. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for the many times where we fall short, that you would just strengthen us and keep us, and we thank you for that. We pray this all in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. We want to one more time go and bend a knee for whatever lies on your hearts. Let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
96. I love to tell the story. For 396.
Good morning. Well, on the note of telling the old story, loving to tell the story of Jesus, as we were reminded this morning, each one of us has that mission. And today is Mission Sunday, so your gifts in the coffers will go towards missions unless earmarked otherwise.
For those of you that looked at your bulletins, it was noted there that Reverend Jay was supposed to be here, but not according to the list, so I was on the list, and my name is, for those of you that don't know, my name is Henry Reimer. I have nothing more to bring you out of God's Word, but I want to thank you for coming, and may the Lord's blessings go with you. I also want to bless you with the words which we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, and will you unite with me. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.